timesheet, how many of you did that on at least once during this period of time? Did you do that where you wrote down the pros on the horse and the cons on the horse? For me, we did that a bit yesterday as a group, and I thought it was kind of enlightening, and we're going to spend some time. Now, the pros, the cons on this horse. The con is that the horse has been off 35 days, right, with one workout. Okay, what's another con that you might find? Coming from Golden Gate, that would be a con, wouldn't it? It's two levels lower. Claudia, don't say no to that, because we're going to come to the other side in a moment. Don't get ahead of us. That is a con. That's two levels lower, and most people consider that to be a negative. If this were an allowance horse coming here from Golden Gate, this would be a definite con. So don't just say, no, it's not a con. It definitely is a negative. Now, at this level, it is not. So let's go to the pro side, because unless somebody's got another con that we might have for this horse. Okay, but we did say that if you get the best horse, if it's a runner, closers are not stopping you right now. It's just that if you come to a close contest, you go to the presser. Okay, so... Pardon? Okay, except... We're going back to the same story we had with High Hook. Look at his winning percentage. How can we call him a bad closer? He overcomes that. That's right. He overcomes that. It's the closer. There was a horse that... There's a horse in yesterday's first race, a horse called Pima Road. And Pima Road is three wins for 25, 26 starts with 8 seconds. And it's the bad closer you're looking at. Now, that was different. And we had, it always is 11th and an 11th horse field, 10th and a 10 horse field. We did have somebody even held out to the end that was a contender for the win in here. And the group mainly decided that the horse is just a bad type closer and it just doesn't get there. And I don't know where it ran yesterday. I just know it didn't get there. Did anybody know where Pima Road finishes there? Down the track, okay. But we had one person even held out after all the arguments and the pros and the cons, and he would pay for that, because if he decided to bet that kind of a horse, he's going to pay dearly for that until he decides that that's not right. But anyway, MacArthur Face overcomes that, doesn't he? I'm sorry, Fleeting Ben overcomes that. All right. Look at his in the money. We're still on the positive side of this ledger now. All right. How many times has he been in the money in 20... five start. 18 times. This is a trier, isn't it? Okay, now, let's go a little further. Let's go to the 35-day layoff. This horse, that's a negative. But this horse is claimed for $10,000, right? By this Kent Molinaro. Now, at the end of the 30 days, for the first 30 days you get this horse, you've got to run it in what they call claiming jail, 25% above the claiming price. So, at this point, this guy can do anything he wants with it. He could take it over to Sacramento running now. He could take it there. He could take it anywhere he wants. He could drop it. He could do anything he wants with this horse. What does he do? He takes it to Santa Anita and raises it 11. Okay? Remember we were talking about Lance Manis last time, who did run very well in that particular race, but we were talking about the double rising class off of a good figure by a good trainer. I mean, it's just short of this guy saying, hey, I love my horse here. You know, what else would you want? This is it's a positive on this particular horse. A real positive. Now the workout line. Don't get too excited about it, because the horse was working up north. Now he's down here, and heaven knows what happened in the meantime. Just kind of trust the trainer to have with the positives we put on this, trust the trainer to have taken this horse to an off-track facility or something in the meantime. Just kind of make that assumption. Bob?
This will be a two-class rise, 10,000 Golden Gate.
No, that's the other issue. Okay, let's take that one right now. We'll talk about the part-time chart in a moment. At Golden Gate Fields, for example, non-winners of one allowance horses equate to about $20,000 claimers. Down here, they equate to about $32,000 claimers. So if you were to take an allowance horse from Golden Gate Fields, and now winners of one, move it down here, they're at a disadvantage, a real disadvantage. But down at the $10,000, $12,000, $5,000, $16,000 level especially, they ship interchangeably. And a good $10,000 horse up there is more than likely going to win down here and run very well. And one of the reasons for that is, there's no the bottom here is 10, right? And in a race like this, we have a lot of horses that would be running for five, probably, if they could. At Golden Gate Fields, that's not the case. The $10,000 horse is two levels above the bottom. So that horse is not at the bottom up there. So it's facing other horses that are not at the bottom. So those fields are actually tough, as tough or tougher at that level. So he is not at a disadvantage. Thank you. Now, Fleeting Man, that is a contender. And for all the reasons we said, and I advise you, those of you that have not gone through this pro-con exercise, do that, because sometimes you'll find that you have one or two cons that you consider to be important, and maybe you're embracing those ideas over time, and then all of a sudden when you do this exercise, you might find five pros overcoming that and kind of telling you that maybe you're making some snap judgment. Bubba's Bullet. Does this meet our up-close guidelines? No, it does not. It was up-close at the first call and caved in around the turn, right? Caved in the second fraction and then just continued to cave in. Stepping up off of a loss in a race in which he was beaten how many lengths? I mean, there are no positives associated with this one. So this is a non-contender. Now, Uncle Foss, does this meet any of your contender guidelines? First of all, it's a layoff horse, right? So the last race isn't really applicable. It's so long ago that it would not be the pace line, chances are, anyway. So it's not applicable in terms of up close. So what are you dealing with? You're dealing with the class on this horse, and you're dealing with the workout line on the horse, right? And my question to you is, what workout line? Isn't that something? April 21 at Los Alamitos. That's the only workout, yeah.
Or in thoroughbred racing, but he had in the program on Friday that he had a thing showing he's been running in some 870 races down at Los Alamitos, mixed breed races in quarter horses. I've never seen that before.
I haven't either.
Anyway, Uncle Frost is not a contender for you. Claudia.
My question is this. What is an allowance race at Portland Meadows? I mean, I haven't a clue as to what we could, if this horse were more formful, I would have no clue what to do with that drop.
Right.
From an allowance race.
No, it's not. Well, let me tell you what to do with it. Check the purse value of that allowance field. Okay. Yeah. Well, which says that the horses that are willing to compete, that are in form, willing to compete for $3,000 purses, are just not capable of competing for decent purses, or they wouldn't be doing that. That's Pop's right. Ruling, folks. Is this a contender based on your guidelines? Was it up close at the stretch call? Folks? All right, it was close. It was a near miss, right? And it had trouble in the gate. Okay, so don't be too restrictive. It's a length from being a stretch call, and it had trouble in the gate. So is this a contender? Yeah, you pretty much, based on the rules that we've developed, let me back off on that word, based on the guidelines that we've developed, because I do not want you to apply them religiously, but based on the guidelines we've developed, which pretty well attend to current form, this horse does fit. Now, the problem will come up in a moment on this horse. Go Steady Lad. Does this horse fit in anything we've discussed? Does it fit? Does not fit any of the contender guidelines that we talked about, does it? Now, I like this when this... Oh, yeah, the drop in class is positive, folks. Okay, but the point is it carries no form with it. And that's the reason for those guidelines is that we're attending to current form with those. Now, here's a question to all of you. And here's why we're spending time with these form guidelines and we're especially with horses that are going to be bet, we're going to apply them pretty religiously. Look at this guy now. This is a Mel Studi horse, right? Now, that guarantees that this horse will be touted to some degree at the racetrack, because he would tout a goat. I'm serious, if it were running. I mean, he just likes these horses. He's a good trainer, but he just likes these horses for the most part. And you hear, I mean, word spreads that Mel Studi likes his horse. Well, that doesn't do you any good at all. I mean, if you heard that Spar likes his horse, now that would do you some good. But not when Studi does, because it doesn't buy you anything. So chances are, now, the rider assignment, Lafitte Pinkai. Pinkai and Studi over the years has been a very reliable combination. Now that will attract some money also. Don't let it attract yours. Because in spite of that, where do you stand? It doesn't fit any of your guidelines, right? And if you were to choose a pace line on this horse, you then have to overlook a number of races to go back and get one. So now you're in, well, like Dick said, you're in muddy water. You really are. Yeah, that may, I think we may have hit that yesterday. Okay, they're willing to take a little loss, but I think now that they realize that they just, it is a negative drop, but it's also a positive drop in as much as it's just not going to win at 16 or 20. But yeah, they're willing to take a little loss on this horse and get out. You're right. Forum Jack. And the only thing, let me restate something. Do not ever let Forum Jack cause you to pass a race like this? This kind of horse scares a lot of people out of a race, and they lose far more than their share, far more. And they take down so much money that you almost can't lose in the long run by betting against these horses. Make multiple bets. Just make sure you get to the winner's circle when this horse fails. And the few that beat you, there was one last weekend, a horse called the David Hoffman's drop, Dr. Brent, down on the inside. He overcame it. He won. But he was dropping from 40 to 25, and the people that bet him got 7 to 5 on him. It was a bad play. It was a bad play. Yeah, and if you cashed it, the problem with cashing that one, it makes you think you can do it a lot, and you can't. You cannot do that a lot. Those horses are going to lose far more than their share. So just take that loss and figure you lost a 7 to 5 shot. Big deal. You lose a 7 to 1 shot, that's when you get upset. Shady Pine. Bob? On Florham Jack, a question about Florham Jack.
Did you put him in the computer?
No, I did not. I tell you what I did. It's got to come up very well. You say he doesn't. All right, I don't know what program you're using, but in terms of an accurate variant, and the variant we're going to develop today, you'll find that he ran on a very slow track that day, and he will come up.
You're very
good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that because I used my variant and he did come up.
I got him 101.
But I didn't run it through the computer. I just looked up my quick variant as far as the overall figure. Well, we did something different. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You wouldn't use him for the early part of the race?
Yeah, I would. I would evaluate the early part of the race using Form Jack, yes. And for me, that does Pop's ruling in for you.
Yeah.
See, when we get to that in a moment, that does Pop's ruling in. But Florham Jack, at least cut him off at the half, because if you go on... Now, let me see something in here.
Because I may stand corrected in here.
You're putting him in the computer as so many people have trouble. When he comes up 1-1-1-1, how many of you can pass him then?
Well,
it's really tough to do. Once you get him in there, you...
Point is, most of the time, when you have a horse wins at 20... runs against horses at 12-5, they'll come up 1-1-1-1. This one, if he doesn't, they're good. I'm glad he didn't, because that means a lot of people didn't lose on that horse that we're using my variant. Anyway, don't put him in, because if you put him in, then, like I said before, you have to bite your knuckles and go against the horse that's got all your ones, and some people can't do that, and they can't do it with confidence. But do evaluate the effect the horse will have on the pace of the race.
It's been your experience that even though they're probably going bad, that they still will run early to form to some degree?
Just about any of these horses out here in any kind of form will run to the quarter anyway. A lot of them will still get to the half. In the case of this horse, he's probably got enough form left to get to, and he did get to the half, as a matter of fact. He took the lead. What will happen is, whatever his problems will catch up with him somewhere around that point. And they will, but they will get to the, they will impact the race. Now, sometimes they'll just run horrible bell.
He was at the length of the vehicle, and then he just collapsed.
Then he collapsed, yeah.
But that's usually the way it hits them. But just don't put them in a computer. Just bite that bullet. Don't put them in a computer. Over several years, I mean, very few of these win in terms of what favorites would do. Yeah.
Wow. Shoot this horse in terms of strong speed bites in the track. What do you do with that?
Throw it up.
Doesn't change the condition factor here. So that's got to be number. That's the reason we're going through this up close thing and everything. We're trying to attend to current form, current condition, and then work figures behind that. And if you don't, I mean, if the horse is clearly in a negative spot, forget the bias.
Yeah. Sure, I understand this because would a possible rationale be my numbers, my current numbers put Florham Jack and Pop's ruling as some early speed contenders. So right. I put them both in the computer because I wanted to see how much heat Florham Jack was going to give Pop's ruling. Is that appropriate?
Sure.
I didn't put him in there not to, to. I wasn't going to bet him, so I already thrown him out, but I wanted to.
If you can do that. I
do that, all right, because it doesn't bother me that I'm betting against the one horse, but some people cannot do that. If you do it for that reason, I'll tell you one thing you might do if you have trouble betting against your 1-1-1-1-1, put him in with 10 beaten lengths and just use the first two calls. Then he won't come up one on anything for you, except maybe early, which is what you might expect. I have a little upset stomach. Sorry about that. I'm gonna chew on Pepto-Bismol for those listening to the tape. But the point is, get around the horse. Don't play it. I mean, this is a betting opportunity right here. Take it. That's the last horse in the race. Emigrant Guest.
Race and he's going up the class.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a
no, it wasn't. See, I was hoping
somebody would say that. That was a negative, but does everybody remember the qualifier on that? That is never enough to throw a horse out. If the horse comes up strongly in the race, it will overcome that negative. If you have three closely matched horses, and one of them is an older horse coming up in class after a loss, they lose more than their fair share. But it's not an automatic throwaway, ever. There you go. That's the other evaluation. Now take a look at the time of that race. He was in tough. Now you didn't know that at the time, but the winner of that race came back to win two levels above later in the afternoon.
The time that he was entered.
Yeah, you knew he was entered, but you still weren't sure how he was going to perform in that race. Oh, you're pretty sure. I should
bet out on that play. Emigrant Gap now. At the stretch call of his last race, he's a length and a half behind, right? That's where he's running today, a length and a half. Right? You don't need the beaten lengths on this horse at the 7 furlong mark. He's only going 6 today, right? That was a very good race. In fast time, all the way around, that race was fast. So now, what are the pros and the cons on this horse? The one con is the fact that he's an older horse stepping up off of a loss, right? What about the pros?
Five, six.
Trouble line.
Pardon?
Every line looks like a trouble line.
Okay, take his last race. Wide, right? He was wide, and he wins today's race on figures. Okay, so we'll send him to the parking lot, and he'll win a photo anyway. See, the point is that even if he's got the trouble lines, if he's performing with those lines, accept him. Don't expect him to eliminate those lines necessarily. But his last race was run wide. So if he runs wide today, what's the worst that can happen? You get this race. So it's really not a negative here, unless the horse continues to perform badly with trouble all the time, and you can assume he's going to do it again. This horse performed well. He performs well a number of times with trouble. He wins after breaking slowly 3 back. Writing down the pros, right? He's back in 6 days. Now, what's the trainer telling you? You're damn right. I want him back right now. He's back in 6 days, right? Any other positives here? There is another positive. 2 more positives.
Good running. 5 and 8 out of 30.
Presser. He's a presser.
A presser, right? If you're giving advantage, it is advantage presser right now. Not an overwhelming one, but it is an advantage presser. And he is a presser. Where is this horse drawn in this field?
Outside.
Outside. You got a presser who's drawn outside, back in 6 days, outstanding figure. I mean, what the negative is, He's a horse that's coming up off of a loss. I'd step him up too.
Trainer,
that's where you find it come from. What?
The trainer has never won a race.
Yeah, trainer was horrible. But it's not a concern here. The point is, what's the horse? That's why you can go overboard on trainer patterns too. Because if you do, if you give Greg Lawler a call Friday, he'd probably tell you, guys never won a race. You know what I mean?
This is
not a slam at Greg. The point is, if you're a trainer handicapper.
I didn't know that until after when I watched the replays that night that this was the first training after the trainer. I didn't consider it as part of the package.
It is not a concern. Yes.
My profile, just as an observation, I separate the 6, 6.5, and 7s. Okay. If I do that, I come up much stronger on E and presser for the 6 and 6.5. The only relative, even across the board, 1/3, 1/3, 1/3 occurs in the 7 furlongs. That's through yesterday.
Okay. That's generally the way it is, though. Hollywood, for a while, when Hollywood was using that new finish line all the time, early speed was doing better at 7 than it was at 6.
In this case, with the presser on.
But with the old finish line being used, it's more traditional. Closers will do a little better at 7 than they do at 6.5 than they do at 6 and rolling back. Now, let's take a look at Pop's ruling.
Can I ask you a question?
You got it. Journey Through Time fell.
Write him off for the rest of your life.
No, not until, I'll tell you what I do with that. And Bob Purdy made a good observation on that about 6 or 7 years ago, and I don't know where he got it or if it was his own or
or not, but I'll use it. And that is, horses that fell generally have psychological problems after that, until they prove they don't. So you just wait for him to run good. And I've adopted that over the years, and I have never to this day bet a horse next start that fell. The problem with not doing it on this horse is that it was 6 months ago. But sometimes you see him back fairly soon, and I never bet him, and I tell you for a fact, I have never had a losing bet as a result of, I mean, I may have lost the race, but not to the horse that fell.
Okay, he just fell out of the gate. I don't know whether that, you just want to go ahead and try that and fall just like in a race.
Well, yeah, if
Maharis case got cast in the gate, right? Now, consider Maharis case. It's not the same. With Maharis case, Maharis case wins by 4.5 powerfully with a good figure, right? Then he runs a very dull race. Then he acts up and gets cast in the gate. What do you think his form might be doing in this time? It might have nothing to do with being cast in the gate. His form is just probably going sideways. And besides, and Cracksman, the horse that I told you wasn't going to run again, ran Wednesday, didn't it? That's the value of inside information. He ran horrible. But remember, I told you Cracksman, the word around the racetrack, when Cracksman finished last time, he'd not be back, that he bowed badly, because he's already bowed. But apparently they just put him together with baling wire and tried to run him again, and they should not have done that. Yes?
Discussion of that kind of thing in Bonnie Ledbetter's book.
Exactly. How about having fallen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it causes, I'm sure it causes a lack of confidence.
Okay.
Sure. Anyway, Journey Through Time's had enough time after this now, so it's kind of it's a difficult question to answer. Let's go now and get some pace lines. MacArthur Face. Use his last line, huh? He'll probably come up in the middle of this field when you use his last line. I think he didn't. What did he finish? He finished second or third in here, didn't he? Yeah.
Now it seems to me that a horse that has ran a race that he's run off a layoff will more than likely improve his next time out. How do you handle that?
Well.
Statistically, it's about the third race after the layoff and the fourth race that they improve more dramatically. A lot of horses, how do you handle that? It's a guess, and I'll tell you why it's a guess. Some horses run their very best race after a layoff. Some horses do not. How do you tell the difference? I can't tell you that. For me, the way I approach this now is that MacArthur Face, I won't go back to 1988 and use these races at Bay Meadows and Golden Gate to try to represent his current form. I will use his last race. And when it's time to bet, I'll take a look at how he stands in this race. If he looks good on the racetrack, I might assume he'll improve a little. Now, he's not going to improve 4, 5, 6 lengths here. But if he's close, I might assume he'll improve a little. And I might bet, make him part of the bet. That's the way I handle it. It's about the only way I know anybody handles it, really. Use his last race. Then you get a feel for where he is right now in time. If you think he'll improve, put a little money on him. Fleeting Ben. Well, there's no reason not to. I mean, you use the last race. You can modify the one before. I'd use these last race.
Taking into consideration the difference in the final times on those two races there, would you make an average of the two?
Looking at the races he's run up north, looking at his last four races, his speed rating is basically, the 90 is the highest of the four. It's basically 87, 86, 88. I'd probably stay within that range. The one thing about using his last race, you can't get hurt using the last race. Very seldom can you get hurt using the last race. You can get hurt by skipping over it more often than not. But I'd use his last race. Where do you suppose he'll be positioned in this particular field? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, where is he? In his last four races, he's been positioned four races, 7 of 11, 5th of 7, 5th of 6, 8 of 11. Don't you think he'd be kind of toward the back here? In his last race, he was toward the back in that field, so. I'd use his last race. If you choose to use another race, that's fine. What about Pop's ruling? What race do you want to use? You want to skip over to the one before? Okay. And I will tell you that you're wrong in doing so. You are absolutely wrong in doing so. Now, your question I can't answer with any degree of authority because I'm not really sure in my own handicapping which race I'll use on Fleeting Ben. You can't really get hurt with either one as long as you can adjust them with some kind of a variant. If you use a daily racing form variant, your second race back is stronger. All right, so if you want to use that one, that's fine. I think you're better off staying with the last race on that horse. With Pop's ruling, if you jump over to the race before, I think you're making a serious mistake on this kind of a horse. And I think you should notice that so that in the future you don't make that mistake. Take a look at Pop's ruling now. Take a look at the form on this horse in 6 consecutive races, right? Culminating at 7-5 on March 22nd, on a 21 variant, he runs 45-110-4 at Santa Anita, and he wins powerfully by 3.5 lengths, right? Now consider what they're doing with Emmergan Gap in this race. This horse runs a good race, and he's back in 6 days, right? Pop's ruling wins on March 22nd by 3.5. What do you, as an owner, want to see this horse do? What do you think? Do you want him back tomorrow? And if you're Sanford Schulman or Willie Washington, Roger Stein, you'll have him back tomorrow because they do that. And this happens to be Sanford Schulman. You don't lay this horse off for 40-some days and try to bring him back. You just don't do that. And that's what they did. Now, this is a cheap horse, right? With a cheap horse, that horse is out. You're grinding on that horse until you can't get any more money out of it. True? Please say yes. I don't have a trainer in the room to say, okay. We've been blessed with a couple of trainers over the years in this room, and there's always somebody to say, what would you do with it? And the answer to that question, I'll tell you, every time has been, I'd have that horse back so fast as I could get him back on the racetrack. That's the answer to the question. That's right. So if you skip over the last race, you're ignoring the fact that they had to lay him up after that powerful win. When you do that, guess what happens when you put him in a computer? He comes up as a strong, powerful contender in here. Thank you. He comes up on top if you jump back. Now you need him in there. You need him in here because what happens if, off of his last race, he clears this field easily? Okay, you need him to modify. As far as I am concerned, I never at any time considered betting this horse. Okay. And the point is that once you put him in now, you're going to lose him as a contender anyway because he's not going to come up very strongly. The point is, he definitely has an impact on this race. Who was in front of this race early? Anybody with charts? Pop's ruling, then Florham Jack puts him away, and the physical problems with Florham Jack stops him. Now consider the betting opportunity in this race. Florham Jack is the favorite, not as short a price as I thought he'd be, but he's 5-2, and he is the favorite, right? Now, you've thrown him out, and that's a summary dismissal, right? You've just gotten rid of him. No consideration. Pop's ruling, if you don't make the mistake of ignoring his last race, what do you do with Pop's ruling in this race? Now, what price was he in here? All right, now that takes care of a 5-2 shot and a 7-2 shot in the same race. Now you have the opportunity to bet against both of those. Now what have we got here when we're finished? We have MacArthur Face, right? Fleeting Ben. And Emmergan Gap. Now they ran 1-2-3, but this isn't contrived. This is a live race. People had done it yesterday. And they had done it before that. That's not the issue. The issue is a 5-2 and a 7-2 are both gone from the betting probability. You know how I'd bet this race? I'd bet Emmergan Gap. I'd bet MacArthur Face. And I'd bet Fleeting Ben. How can you lose? You're right so often in eliminating the Florham. You're right in eliminating Florham Jack, you're going to be right nearly all the time. The vast majority of the time. If you eliminate Bubba's Bullet, which takes a little more concentration, Pop's ruling, if you eliminate him, you've made a good call there, and now you can't lose this race. You almost can't lose it. So why not make sure you make it to the winner's circle? Because if you make that call, there's no reason to, because if you bet, suppose you decide on Fleeting Ben in here. And the race is over, and both the hard calls you make, Florham Jack you threw out, Pop's ruling you threw out, and you made those two good calls, you got rid of all of that betting probability, and you still don't go to the cashier's window. Be aggressive in these kinds of races. That's the way I think it should be played. What are the prices on these horses? I got to tell you, I would concentrate more of the bet on Immigrant Gap. 5, 6, and 8. They were all good prices, right? All right. Just make sure you get to the winner's circle with a profit in this race, because if you can make the kind of calls, if you can make the kind of calls you have to make to get rid of that much betting probability, God, don't be sitting there throwing away tickets, too.